day was designated in America till about 10 years ago, and I just happened to see it on a calendar. But sure enough, in 1978, by an act of Congress, they designated a Sunday in September as National Grandparents Day. So this would be the 30th anniversary of that designation. And it hasn't become that popular as Mother's Day or Father's Day. And I think I know why. Because what are you going to buy grandma or grandpa, you know? And the stores like to run with those other holidays and make a mint off of our sentiment for them, you know? Got to buy dad something, got to buy mom something. Christmas and Easter and all that kind of stuff. The commercialism in our country. But they probably haven't found a way to commercialize Grandparents' Day yet. And so it's probably kind of flown under the radar. Now, it has always been the second Sunday in September, except this year it was the first. I don't know why. So we're a week late, but we just wanted to take a service and honor seniors and honor grandparents. Not all grandparents are seniors. I've heard of people in their 40s becoming grandparents. This is National Grandparents Day, so we kind of enlarge it into Seniors Day. And I want to bring a message to those of you that are seniors, in particular, and grandparents of hope. I think that'll help you and strengthen you some, and just kind of want to give you just some of God's promises for folks in your season of life that I think will help get you through. And I've chosen as my text to begin the message with today, Psalm 48 and verse number 14. Psalm 48 and verse number 14. It says, "For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death." For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Isn't that a great promise? And I want to speak this morning on the subject of our God, our guide, even unto death. Our God, our guide, even unto death. God bless you, senior citizens. I hope that you'll hold tightly on to promises like this one in the Bible. And what a wonderful God He is. He is our God forever and ever. He's never going to stop. And He will be our guide even unto death. You senior citizens can just lay your entire faith with great assurance on that verse. In the bulletin, we put a little bit of a poem in there for senior citizens. This is from the Sword of the Lord magazine, brought to my attention by Grace and Henry Moore. It's called A Senior Citizen's Lament. And it says, "Though I'd thought I'd let my doctor checked me because I didn't feel quite right. All those aches and pains annoyed me, and I couldn't sleep at night. He could find no real disorder, but he wouldn't let it rest. What with Medicare and Blue Cross, it wouldn't hurt to do some tests. To the hospital he sent me, though I didn't feel that bad. He arranged for them to give me every test that could be had. I was fluoroscoped and cystoscoped, my aging frame displayed, stripped upon an ice-cold table with my gizzards, while my gizzards were x-rayed. I was checked for worms and parasites, for fungus in the crud, while they pierced me with long needles, taking samples of my blood. Doctors came to check me over, probed and pushed and poked around, and to make sure I was living, they wired me for sound. They had finally concluded their results have filled a page What I have will someday kill me. My affliction is old age. Well, they're going to write something down on your form there someday when you die and I die. They always do, you know, old age or natural causes, or maybe there'd be something specific, a heart attack or whatever, but what I have someday will kill me. My affliction is old age. Someone said, you know, you're getting old when your knees buckle, but your belt won't. Or your back goes out more than you do. Or when you bite into a stick and you leave your teeth in it. Or when the little old lady you are helping across the street is your wife. That's a shocker, isn't it? All right. Well, we're all getting that. We're all heading in that direction there. But seriously, you know, the poem ends with the statement. It's kind of funny. We laugh at it. It says, what I have will someday kill me. My affliction is old age. But the Bible says, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even until death. Those of you that are senior citizens today, we honor you. We're supposed to honor you. The Bible says so. The Bible says we ought to honor our elders. You know, we live in a day that's kind of backwards. There's so much honoring of children nowadays. You ever notice that? Children first, children first, children first, children first. And, I mean, you can get elected president on that mantra. Putting the children first. There's nothing in the Bible about putting the children first. Nothing at all. I took the word honor once in the Bible, and I went through the concordance, and I looked at, under the word honor, and I looked at every single person we're supposed to honor. And it said things like honor your father, honor your mother, honor the king, honor all men, honor your elders, honor those that are in authority over you, and kings and princes and so on and so forth. Never once in the Bible does it say honor children. Never says to honor children. You know why? They've never done anything honorable. The Bible says, honor, give honor to whom honor is due. Honor is something sacred. It's not something we should misuse. There's certain people we shouldn't honor. There are certain people who are vile and sinful and ungodly and wicked, and we shouldn't honor them. We shouldn't lift them up. We shouldn't exalt them. The Bible says the hoary head is a crown of glory if it be found in the way of righteousness. The gray head, if it be found in the way of righteousness. But you know, there's so much today about honoring children, putting children first and something. So I understand the school down the road here just spent $6.5 million building a new soccer field for the kids to play on. And there's so much of this nowadays. We're just putting children first. Children are supposed to be last. Children are supposed to learn to serve. They're supposed to learn to be servants. You know, there was a day, I can even remember a day when they used to say that children should be seen and not heard. I grew up in a home like that. I grew up under the instruction of a father who told me specifically, son, if there's somebody in the room with gray hair, you shut your mouth and listen. I did. I remember that. You shut your mouth and listen. The Bible says in Leviticus 19 and verse 32, it says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the face of the old man and fear thy God. I am the Lord. That was part of the law of God given in the book of Leviticus. What's it called when somebody breaks the law? What's that called? What's a one-word synonym for the breaking of God's law? Sin. 1 John 3 and verse 4 says, for the sin is the transgression of the law. When we break the law of God, we sin. Now, what does this mean? It says right here in the law, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head, H-O-A-R-Y. That's speaking about the gray head. I understand there's three types of gray hair. Do you know that? There's three types of gray hair. And there's different chemicals and everything. It's amazing. But anyways, some people's hair literally turns silver. But it says, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head. What that means is that if you're just sitting around minding your own business and somebody with gray hair walks in, the Bible says you're supposed to stand up and honor that person. What sense? I remember we had to do that in the Army. When I was in the Army and I was just an enlisted man, and an officer, didn't matter if a man or a woman, didn't matter if she was a second lieutenant just getting started. If she was an officer, you stood up and you yelled out to everybody else in the room to stand up at attention because an officer was there. And that's the concept God's trying to get us to have towards our senior citizens. You see, we should be living in a country that says senior citizens first. They're the ones that should be honored. They're the ones that should be taken care of. They're the ones that should be heard. In Job 32 and verse 7, it says, days should speak, and multitude of years should teach wisdom. What's that mean? Days should speak. Those that have a lot of days behind them, that means experience, they're the ones that should speak. And those that have a multitude of years, they're the ones that should teach wisdom. We've got too much confidence in our country, I think, in college and college graduates and so on and so forth. And somebody comes out of college in their 20s and we think they're geniuses or experts or something because we've given them a degree on something. But the Bible says days should speak. Multitude of years should teach wisdom. Those are the ones who should be doing the teaching. And I want to encourage you, as I have a lot lately, those of you that are my age and older and we've raised our children and we've started a church and we've established a church and we've learned a lot of things along the way and we've made a lot of mistakes and we've done a lot of right things and so on and so forth. Believe me, my friends, now is not the time to give up. When you get to your mid-years like me and so many of you and into your older years, that's not the time to give up. That's the time to finish strong. You need to understand that you have more to offer now than you've ever had before. And it's not time for you to resign ministries, and it's not time for you to slowly fizzle out, and it's not time for you to start missing services, but it's time for you to say, listen, I've learned some things from God's Word, and I've learned some things from life's experiences, and I know I've done some things that are wrong, and I've done some things that are right, and I can now teach another generation what to do. Because when those in your mid-years and those in your senior years resign or give up or quit or fizzle out or fade out or burn out or whatever your excuse might be, who's going to take your place but younger people who don't know as much? Because they just haven't had life's experience. Listen, I don't care if you're in your 50s or 60s and you did everything wrong. You now know what you did wrong. You can share that with somebody else. I've said that to people. I said that to a lady recently. She told about all of her life. She did everything she did wrong. And I said, would you tell every young lady what you just told me every chance you get? Tell every young lady you can, whether they want to listen or not, what you just told me. That you did this wrong, and you did this wrong, and you did this wrong, and you got into this relationship, and this consequence, and now it's this hard on me. Would you tell every young lady that comes along what you did wrong? Say something. Maybe you'll save someone's life. Some of us maybe haven't done everything right as parents. Or maybe we've done some right things as parents. Say something. Man, I'm looking forward to influencing the next generation. Why? I'm just 51 now, but I have more experience now than when I started 25 years ago. Days should speak. Multitude of years should teach wisdom. It's not time for you that are getting older to start fizzling out and saying that's what the devil wants. He wants you to quit. He wants you to start missing services. He wants you to start dropping out of ministries. Let someone else take over. Why? Because now you have the experience and the wisdom. And he doesn't want you sharing it with someone else. Well, I'm not quitting. I'm so looking forward to the future. I almost can't stand it sometimes. Days should speak. Multitude of years. I want you to turn to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. We just read a wonderful promise for you seniors and your grandmas and your grandpas. And that said, for this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Isn't that great? What a promise. He doesn't guide you till you're 60 and then say you're on your own now. He doesn't guide you till you're 70 and says, well, you're on your own now. God will guide you till your death. Isn't that something? I mean, the day before you die, he can still give you some wisdom. He's our guide. Seniors, he's your guide. He's not going to leave you. Look at Psalm 73, verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Isn't that great? Seniors, grandmas, grandpas, he will guide you with his counsel, and afterwards receive you to glory. Isn't that wonderful? Can you imagine the poor people going through this world who don't know God? Who don't have God? Aren't you glad you've got God today? He will be our God forever and ever. He will guide us even unto death. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterwards receive me to glory. Can you imagine the people going through this world without God? I don't care if you're 99 years old, you can ask God what to do and he'll help you. He'll help you. Turn over to Isaiah 46. Maybe you seniors would just kind of write these verses down. Just wonderful verses for senior citizens this morning. Isaiah 46, I think, is one of the greatest in all the Bible. That's just my opinion. But when it comes to those living in old age or entering that season of old age, it says in Isaiah 46 and verse 4, and even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. What a promise. Are you getting these down, seniors, grandma, grandpa? This is fantastic. He says, I want you to know that even to your old age, I am he. I am that God that I promise will be with you forever and ever. Even the hoar hairs, when your hair turns gray, will I carry you. I've made you. I'm not going to forget what I made. I will bear you. That word bear means lift you up. Even I will carry. Twice he says carry you. I'll carry you. I've made you. I'll lift you up. I will deliver you. I will deliver you. The Lord's going to take care of you. Even to your old age and to hoar hairs when your hair gets gray. I think another wonderful verse for the senior citizens is in Psalm 37 and verse 25, where David says, I have been young, and now am old, Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He says, I was young, but now I'm old, and I'm telling you, I've never seen God forsake one of his own. I've never seen one of God's children end up a beggar. I've seen God take care of you. And you seeing your citizens, I know it's hard sometimes. Some of you live alone. Some of you wonder if anyone cares. God cares. God is there. He'll carry you. He'll bear you. He made you. He'll lift you up. He gave us all a promise in Hebrews 13:5, but it's good for seniors too. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I am never going to leave one of my children, and I'm never going to forsake them. Turn to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. You know, God has been so good to us. He relates. While you're turning there, he describes himself this way in the future. In Daniel chapter number 7, verse 9, he says, I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. When God described himself, he called himself the Ancient of Days. And if you look in the book of Daniel in your King James Bible, you use the capital A. It said, I'm the Ancient of Days. You know, God is a God that can relate to you and I. He can relate to everyone at every age. You say, well, God doesn't know what it's like to get old. And God's been around forever. And he calls himself the Ancient of Days. And he says, I want to describe myself to you. I have a hair full of head like pure wool. Now, I know God is everywhere. He's omnipresent. We know that and everything. But for some reason, he's just done man a favor by putting himself on a throne, and we're going to be able to see him someday. And when we see him, we're going to see him, a God with hair like pure wool, who's like the Ancient of Days. He presents himself to us in this picture as a senior citizen. Not that he's getting old or weak or anything like we do with our body, but he just presents ourselves. And I ask myself, why do you do that? I don't know why. I don't know if my assessment would be right or not, but I think he just wants to relate. He's a God who says he's been tested and tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And so every senior citizen can kneel down and get before him in prayer and say, Lord, you know what it's like to be the Ancient of Days. You know what it's like to be around for a long time. And you know what I'm going through. And he'll be able to relate with them. Somebody once wrote, beautiful young people are an act of nature. The beautiful old people are works of God. Beautiful young people are acts of nature. Sometimes they just come out of the womb that way. Got some good genes. And she ended up looking real pretty. He ended up looking real handsome or something like that. But beautiful old people are acts of God. I've seen some old people sour. I've seen some old people get overwhelmed with bitterness. I've seen some old people in nursing homes that nobody will ever visit them anymore because in some cases, nobody can stand visiting them. They sour. He that will have friends must show himself friendly. But I've seen some other senior citizens that just get more and more beautiful. And they show you what the real beauty is, the inward beauty. when it comes out after the outward beauty is long gone. And I'm praying and hoping I end up one of them someday if God lets me live. I don't want to get sour. I don't want to get bitter. I don't want to get angry. I don't want to become overwhelmed with unforgiveness because I got offended or slighted or you voted me out of the church, you know, and kicked me out or something someday in the future here or something. I don't know. And I love these senior citizens. I love being around them, the ones that just get sweeter and sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. I got a grandma. Today was 96. Well, she'll be 96 in November. And I just honor her today. I just honor her today. Went by to see her last week and sat with her, and she's completely brilliant mind, just absolutely sharp, carry on a conversation with you like nothing's wrong. It's her hips are gone. She's got to stay in a wheelchair now, but just sharp as can be. She'll talk about the depression like it just happened or whatever. So sharp. 96. Just surrounded by children that loved her, foster children. I don't know how many foster children she brought up. 6 children, all of her grandchildren. I can't think of one of us that doesn't love her to death. Thank God for her. She just stayed sweet. She's in a good relationship with all of her children, all of her grandchildren. She just stayed sweet. Sweet. When Mom died and I was almost 5 years old, had nowhere to go, she took us in. I was living in a little house in Orchard Park with her children, her foster children, and me and my 2 brothers. She took us in. She took care of us. Dad turned to alcohol for a while. He wasn't much use to us at the time. But then he got converted and all that changed. And I had a new dad. Amen? I have something changing dad just like that one day. But grandma was always there. Boy, just the epitome of a perfect grandma. She loved us and consoled us and comforted us. And she was so patient with us. In her tongue was the law of kindness. Such a blessing. How are you going to turn out? In closing, turn to Psalm 71. The psalmist has concerns, just as any senior citizen would. David kind of has a shaken faith in verse 19, but he's going to straighten this out by the end of the chapter. He says in verse 9, Psalm 71:9, cast me not off in the time of my old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together, saying, God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there is none to deliver him. O God, be not far from me, O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Circle that verse, seniors. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I will make mention of thy righteousness, even of thine only. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to every one that is to come. Here's some words for the senior citizens today. Here's some words for the grandmas and grandpas today. Yeah, pray. Verse 9, cast me not off in the time of my old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Verse 12, O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. These are the prayers of senior citizens, the prayers of grandmas and grandpas. Pray. Don't stop praying just because you're getting old. Don't stop praying for others, but don't stop praying for God will help you. But I love verse 14, not only pray, but hope. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. And it only makes sense that the older and older and older and older you get, the more and more and more and more and more of God's benefits you've enjoyed. The list should get longer and longer and longer and longer and longer of what God has done for you. He daily loads us with benefits, the scripture says. And so those of you that have lived to be 80 or 70 or 90 or whatever, you've enjoyed a whole lot more benefits in your life than I have. And so you should be praising him yet more and more. The one senior citizen in Hebrews chapter 11 says he worshiped God leaning on his staff. Just worship God. Boy, there's power. There's power when you see a senior citizen, a grandma or a grandpa who's walked with God for a long time and maintained a good spirit and has allowed God. I love what it says in verse 17, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth. See, it is God who taught us. I was trying to say that earlier in the sermon. Some of you that are my age, around 50, God's taught us from our youth. It's not time to take everything he's taught us and throw it out. It's time to share it. It's time to be involved more now than ever in conveying to the next generation what God has taught us in our youth. And when we were young parents and when we were young church builders and when we were making mistakes and when we were doing things wrong and when we were doing things right, God taught us through those lessons. And hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. Until I have showed thy strength unto this generation and thy power to everyone to come. See, that ought to be the vision of all of us senior citizens, those of you that are seniors and grandmas and grandpas and those that are gray-headed, that you can show God's power to this generation. What a great opportunity in your old age when you have to rely on the Lord. For them to see God come through for you. So that in their youth, they're not going to have to worry. When they bury you, they're going to be able to say, the Lord took care of Grandma, the Lord took care of Grandpa. Because they walked with the Lord and they served the Lord. And I think if I serve the Lord and walk with the Lord, God will take care of me too. Not only the Word says it, but their example showed it. Till I show this generation thy power to everyone that is to come. See, that's God's way. Generation after generation after generation, this is God's means of educating. Where he takes youth who don't know anything, children who don't know anything, he teaches them in their youth so that they can become mature and old and gray-headed, and then they can show the power of God to the next generation of youth. So they can grow and be old and gray-headed and know that God provides for them, and that our God is our guide forever and ever. He will be with us even until death. That'll give a lot of assurance to our youth. We need a church full. We need a church full of senior citizens. Little children, teens and adults can look up to and say, you know what, we got a God who is our guide even unto death. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that in our terms you've covered all the bases. We thank you that you're going to take care of children. But now, Lord, I want to pray, just a prayer unto you for all of the senior citizens in this room. There may be some who are fretting. There may be some who are fearful. There may be some, Father, who are worrying. There may be some who are wondering if they're going to make it. But you are our God. You are our guide even unto death. And thou shalt guide us with thy counsel, and afterwards receive us to glory. You'll not forsake us or leave us. Even unto old age, unto hoar hairs, you'll carry us. You've made us. You'll lift us. You'll deliver us. And Lord, you've taught us in our youth. Some of us are getting older. And you've taught us so much. We've got a lot to learn yet, too, but you've given us some experience. You've given us the knowledge of your word. Now's the time we ought to be getting revived up and saying, oh, God, let me now influence my grandchildren and other people's grandchildren. Oh, Lord, I think myself of some of the preachers I've sat under just seemed in their 70s and 80s and even in their 90s, they had their greatest ministries, their most powerful messages. Their greatest influence was in the last years of their life. And we know the devil would want us to give up before we get to that stage. He'd want us to backslide or slow down or quit or burn out or retire and let someone else do it when you've actually prepared us so that we're in our 60s and 70s and 80s, we'll have the mighty power of God on our lives like never before to influence other people. Lord, help us, we pray. Help us, Lord, with this. Help the seniors today to leave with great hope, great expectation, great confidence, great assurance, great peace. That you are our God, our guide, even unto death. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and